Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. This is Mama Seven, and it is Wednesday. I'm so, like I say every week, I'm so glad to get to this point of the day, of the week, of the year, of all of that, because some people didn't make it to this point, you know, and we always have to be grateful and thankful, even in the middle of chaos and confusion. You know, we have to be grateful that we have other things going for us, things that are positive, things that are going to impact our life. You know, some days are those days just to take a basic inventory of yourself. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to wake up and remind yourself, I am in my right mind, okay? I can make it through this challenge. I can do this. I can do that. And so sometimes those prayers get real basic and you begin to understand the things that are important and things that are not. And you'd be surprised what you cannot live without and what you can. You know, I tell everyone, God places no burden on us too heavy to bear. And so, and that's it's a warning for us not to try to find out how much we can bear. But it's also a blessing so that we know that we are protected and know that, you know, God is not trying to squash us because he can. You know, God is really trying, you know, there are trials in this life. And so we just have to learn how to move past them, to stay strong, to be that vessel able to do the work that he has for us. And so we have people that are the vessels that are holding the work. We have those that are the light bearers that shine the light into dark places, into sad places. And the light bearers, the ones that keep us from the dangers that lurk in the dark. And then there are those that are our water bearers, those that hold the emotion, they hold the empathy, they hold, you know, those things that we need to keep going in life. You know, I give thanks for all of the support that God has around us. You know, we are truly in blessed spaces, even when it may be uncomfortable, even when we may not feel like it, you know, like, hey, you're picking on me, you know, even when we think, oh, I can't take not one more thing. Even when we get to these points in our life, I promise you, there's ways around it. There's ways to see through it. There's ways that we can keep working to provide, to maintain, to keep our strength about us, because we don't know who we may be needing to hold on to grab on to, who might need us to shine that light on them. You know, so we have to really, really, really be thankful. Goodness. Be thankful and to have that air of gratitude about you, even in the middle of what I would call some uncomfortable situations. Last week, we spoke about joy. We had our, you know, I tell people we have our this expert and that expert. We had our joy expert with us. We have we had Miss Unique, Mama Unique, that was sharing with us the importance of this joy. And you know, not only do we need to have it in our hearts, but we really need to act like it, you know. We need to make sure that we're protecting it. And then we need to make sure we know what types of things make us joyful, you know. So there are a couple of things that I took from it. I got some really, really good responses from it. And there are some people that were like, you know, I had to go back and think about that for a second. Understanding joy, which is an internal function, and then happiness, which is an outside function. And so, you know, we have lots of things, you know, outside stimuli that can make us laugh. Kittens and ducks always make me laugh, you know, but do they bring joy? You know, can I turn this happiness inward and really just marvel at God's creation, you know? So there's all kinds of ways that we spoke about bringing that joy in, protecting it. You know, joy is a powerful element. Joy is a powerful emotion. There are, once you have joy in you, there's not a lot of things that can take you off your balance. And so getting that joy and having it and maintaining it are vital part of who we are and what we need to do. So, again, you know, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the show, it was really wonderful. I love the balance between understanding joy and then understanding the dangerous situations we put ourselves in by not having that joy. So get a chance. You want to listen to the show again. All you have to do is go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. All of the older shows are there. You can listen to them, check out a couple of them. We'll go over, you know, someday soon and do my favorite show and then think about, you know, what your favorite show was and why, you know, what key points were brought out. So, but that was a great show, and I'm so glad that our resident expert in that joy, Mama Unique, was able to share with us not just her personal joy, but the work that she does to maintain it, even up against, you know, some naysayers and doubters, whatever, you know, whoever your personal challenge is, you have to be joyful even when they're around. So it was a great show. It was a really, really good show. This show here, we are moving into the beginning of Black History Month. Black History Month is very important, okay? It is important because it is a month where this country stops and recognizes African Americans and their contribution to this country. African Americans have made many contributions to this country, even when they weren't willing participants to, they were making contributions to this country. And it continues. So we have what is called a gungun. This is the collective ancestors. This is the civil rights movement. This is the Reconstruction era. That's all of those ancestors, okay? But today what I want to do is get it personal. We talk about ancestors all the time because this is a spiritual program. And we talk about, you know, who they were, what they did. But today I want to talk about the historical aspects that are in each of our ancestral stories, okay? I want to know, because we have to make it personal for us sometimes, you know? So I pay no disrespect to Mama Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, the Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, all of the Marcus Garvey, all of the greats that whose work not only do we know, but we've studied, we've emulated from here to there, we put this in, we put that, all of that is super fantastic. But really, I would like this show, if we could focus on our own family. Sometimes when we are concentrating so heavily on someone else's accomplishment, we miss our own. Many of us in our own personal ancestral lineage have those that contributed to the society, that contributed to the movements, that contributed to building houses, that did whatever. You know, there are some of us that in our family lines, we know who they are, and we know their stories. And today is that day where we're going to share those stories. I absolutely love it. It's so important that ancestors know that we see the work that they did and we acknowledge it. It's so important that we do that. You know, can you imagine doing work up against some incredible odds and no one ever says anything? You know, you may get a half-hearted thanks and then they move it on to their own stuff. You know, some of our ancestors did this work under threat of death, under threat of, you know, embarrassment. You know, some of the sacrifices that were made were so monumental that, you know, and sometimes the children don't see it. Sometimes it takes till the grandchildren are there to to see how big of a contribution that was. And so it's important that we take the time to stop and to recognize them. And even if you don't know, like, a particular trait or story about your ancestors, I hope that everyone would at least, you know, open up their lines, you know, press one. That's how I know that you'd like to speak. But even just to have their name mentioned, even just to have, you know, their name added to the collective prayer that we're going to be saying at the end of the program, you know, that kind of stuff, that's a small, really small thing that you can do, but it shows love, it shows respect, it shows veneration, all of these very positive things that we should be doing as spiritual people. I mean, we should be doing as people in general. It doesn't matter. No matter what religion or religious understanding you have, you came from an ancestry, okay? This is a 101 right here. We don't have to even debate this. So I really hope that everyone takes a moment, shout out your ancestors, share a great story that they left you with, or some history that you learned about them. It's amazing. I have been studying ancestors many years, at least, let's see, I was 14, at least 15, 16 years, right? But until I started a Black history class with Talib recently, there are still facts about my own family that I'm learning. And I was like, you know, and so now he has created, all of this started from a project that I have him doing. But he has his Black history facts, civil rights, understanding this figure, that figure, what they contributed. But then he went to each of his family members and said, okay, what did you do to leave a legacy towards Black history? And then he's written down all of it. And it's so funny because his grandmother's page is probably a page and a half of just notes, notes, notes. And then after he went through his grandmother, his grandfather, his brother, his father's people, myself, then I said, okay, now, Talib, what have you done? He's like, well, I'm 14. I haven't done anything. I said, oh, but you have. You know, you studying under this great sensei who's done this, that's part of Black history. You being affiliated with this school and this program, that's Black history. These awards that you've done, you know, you're setting records in places that there weren't even records for African-American boys. And so all of this is starting to create his Black history, but also an understanding of the types of legacies that I want to leave behind. And so today, you know, I would love for you to shout out, tell us that story about ancestors, funny, sad, whatever it is, share so that they get that energy. We're lifting them up. And then turn around and shout your own self out. What are you doing to continue the legacy that has been laid out for you? You know, what are you hoping to solidify in your own footsteps? So that's today's show. I am very excited about it. My house is abuzz with energy because everyone is like, oh, I know you're about to say my name. So we're going to be taking calls. All you have to do is press one. That lets us know you want to speak. There are some people whose ancestors are so rowdy. I'm like, you better press one. So your head's going to be banging all night. They're going to be like, you're going to say it tomorrow, next week then. But, you know, that's the whole purpose of this show. And I really am, there are days and times like this that make me proud of the platform. There are days and times like this that make me very proud of the people that work this platform, the people that call in, the people that are constantly applying themselves using this platform. So, you know, this is a great way where we're connecting ourselves with spirit, and we're going to be raising vibrations through technology, and we're going to be getting all this information going. So I absolutely love it. Please do not wait till 9:15 to press one, because I promise you the phone lines are going to be lit, because ancestors, they're going to press one for you. and you can play around if you want to, okay? But we're going to talk, and we're going to get this going, and we're going to big up those family names out there and share that history, because we have Black history, and that is wonderful, but we have our own personal history. So let's big up our ancestors and let them know how much we love them, how much we appreciate them. So I ain't going to talk too long. We are the first brave caller. I appreciate you coming forward and shouting your people out and letting us know, hey, I'm here. I'm here, and my family ain't going to let me stop. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Love and light, family. How are you?
How are you? Oh, we are great. You know we're great.
I was sitting here just a-cheesing. I was like, I'm not going to dial in. But like you said, they'll press it for you because I moved the phone. And it was like, oh, okay. So I guess I'm going to speak. So I would like to big up. Actually, January the 23rd made 35 years since my father transitioned. And his name was Jacob Haywood Jenkins, Sr. It wasn't until about 12 years ago that I realized that I was truly standing on his shoulders. And it took another sibling to say something because I was so young when he passed. So a lot of things that he did in the community and the help that things that he did for people, I didn't know about. I was just too young. So my brother was like, he did taxes. I've been doing taxes for like 16 years. Entrepreneur. Got a business or two I work on. He was the great mediator with a whole bunch of sisters. So whenever there was an issue, you went before him because he was the eldest brother up there. So, you know, I counsel. So when I think about the things that I'm interested in, I was like, wow, even though I don't remember these things, I am truly standing on his shoulders as far as the things that I do in the community and all the things that he was doing. So I am so grateful. And I know he's around me a whole lot more because even if I try to put a little shot glass on there with the vodka that I do remember, if I try to put a little shot glass, it's like, okay, so you don't have a bigger cup? Yes, I do.
Right.
I got a bigger cup, and I'm going to fill it up so we don't have any issues. So I make sure that I do that. And lately I've been hearing jelly bread, and I'm like, okay, so you really want me to make it from scratch? And it was like, yes, because I used to bake cakes for him every Saturday. So after church on Sunday, he would have cake. Whether he, you know, he didn't go to church with us, but he expected that cake to be baked. And mind you, at this time, I'm like 8 years old, you know, in the kitchen learning how to bake cakes just because that's what he wanted. So I laugh. So certain people, when they come around me, is like, okay, I got to have a cake. Like, okay, you baking cake? Yeah. And I'm putting a slice over here so I don't get fussed at later. So wonderful, wonderful topic. And it was just like so many different things and different people. So I was glad that my brother, who's older, remembered those things and shared that with me because it was just not a memory that I didn't have. But I can see it now when I go back and I look over things and I'm talking to people. It's just like, wow. It was even to the point he had a store. So with a store, if people didn't have money for groceries, you can get it off of credit and come back and take care of him later. So he did those type of things for the community, and they were greatly appreciated. So I give thanks and praise that I stand on the shoulders of Jacob Haywood Jenkins, Sr. And my umiyat, act like him and look like him.
Wow. Wow.
So it's like, okay.
Wow.
So, yeah,
wow.
That's my little story.
That's awesome.
Thanks for allowing me to share.
These are things you didn't even know, but you felt, you know what I'm saying? And you've made a life journey of it.
Exactly.
Wow.
I didn't know he did half of that. You know, I knew of some things. I remember the store because I remember the pictures when I was small.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, he had a store. But I didn't know how he helped the entire community with this small store.
Wow.
So
wow,
he did a lot.
Yes.
And I was just, when it came, I was just like, wow. And I was very grateful, and even very grateful for my brother, because that's part of what he brings to the family as far as even from the Native American side, that storytelling. He will bring you into that story to the point that you could have sworn you were there. So him
wow.
being able to do that is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that's such
those
an
stories.
Trait. Yes.
Yes.
That is us.
Yes.
That is us.
Yeah. All the way.
That is us.
All the way.
Yes.
So I'm grateful for that. And the auntie
mm-hmm.
that I look like, the stuff that I was trying to get into with foster care and stuff, she was doing that, working with children with special needs and high-risk foster
mm-hmm.
care and all that kind of stuff. She was
mm-hmm.
doing those things, even what she did with the family, and even her health concern ended up becoming my health concern. But it's like,
wow,
okay, it is my health concern, but I also have knowledge and other things that she didn't have. So even though my life reflects some of the things that she's gone through, her outcome would not be mine. It
mm-hmm.
was a teachable moment,
and,
you know, so I'm grateful.
Yeah. Teachable moment, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
See, the more we know about our ancestors, the more we don't have to be surprised when this thing pops up. You know, the more
yeah.
that we don't have to, you know, we can be proactive. We already know some of the lessons that they learned, some of the things that took them down. We now have that knowledge. We at least now know, don't do this. You know, even if
exactly.
that's all they taught us, how big of a sacrifice is that? So, you
mm-hmm.
know, we have to be thankful for, you know, what they did and sometimes what they didn't do, you know, and so that gives
mm-hmm.
us more information so that we can move forward. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even
yeah.
on the spiritual tip, she was the auntie that everyone went to when there was an issue.
Uh-huh.
So with the things that we do spiritually and how family comes and friends come, it's like, wow, okay,
mm-hmm.
did she go through this all the time? Because this could be a little
mm-hmm.
overwhelming sometimes, but I still got to
mm-hmm.
do what spirit tells me to do, because if this is
yeah.
my job and what I've been, you know, if this is part of the legacy, this is part of the legacy. So I give thanks for that.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Very much.
Yes.
And her name was Laura Jenkins. So I give thanks for her. She was the baby sister. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The baby,
yeah,
the baby girl, baby sister. That's me.
I talk about them
yes.
Jenkins. Lord have mercy. Between the Jenkins and the McCoys, I'm like, look here, y'all. Look here, y'all. The real
mm-hmm.
McCoys. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for sharing your ancestors with us in word and in action. And in action,
yeah.
you know, because
yeah.
you embody them and you represent them properly. You represent, absolutely. And
you.
Hopefully you're making notes for your Umiyets so that they
yes.
understand. They come from rich blood now. I need you to know,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is part of our family science, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, amen.
Thank you for allowing me to share.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Peace. Oh, how wonderful. Look, didn't even realize the work ethic. Didn't even realize that. Such a blessing. We're going to keep going with the phone lines because they are lit, and I don't want not one ancestor talking to me that they didn't get a chance for their baby to get shouted out. So I'm going to say greetings. Welcome to the show.
Peace. Greetings.
How are you?
I'm doing well, Mama Seven. It is such a pleasure to have this platform to give a shout out because I know
amen.
My ancestors, they were just like, oh, yeah, so we already know. I
yes.
mean, I know you're not about not to, yeah, my people are rowdy, so excuse
yes.
me in advance, everybody that hears this, okay? So I come from a very, very long line of entrepreneurs,
yes.
inventors, great mothers, you know, fathers, you know, just loving individuals. And one of the things that I can say my ancestors having instilled in me was the love of family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the love
mm-hmm.
of being there for each other. No matter what, you know, family first. You know, now I can talk about my family, but you better not say nothing about my family. You know what I'm saying? My mama
mm-hmm.
crazy. Yeah, your mama crazy. Oh, I know you just ain't called my mama crazy. You know what I'm saying? We about to fall out all the way out. You know what I'm saying? You say something about my mama. You know? So, just looking at myself and, you know, I just love me because my ancestors, you know, run through my veins. One thing and I always say this and I continue to say that, let me start off with, you know, even though we use February, so-called, in America as Black History Month, I want everybody that hears this to know that your history did not start in slavery. Okay?
Amen.
So our history did not start with us just being on some shore running around like savages and somebody had to come civilize us. You know, you have to understand that when they came over to get us, they came to get, you know, scientists and astronomers and architects and, you know, people. You had to be smart to be able to go from one environment to a whole nother environment. Iron workers, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of things, a lot of people that they came over there. They didn't just come. They got chiefs, you know what I'm saying? They got leaders. They got people that they knew that was going to be able to lead and educate other people. And saying that, one of my ancestors I want to shout out is my mother's father, Alvin Winston Hartley Sr., who actually was in the Air Force. He, a native from Jamaica, West Indies, and he actually was an inventor. He invented a piece on the respirator machine. He was a respiratory therapist. And like most inventors, you know, he thought that, you know, he went into business, thought that he was, you know, getting something and he was beat out of his patent, you know. And ever since then, he has always taught me that you make sure you have your copy and you have another copy and you get a lawyer to watch the lawyer. So that's one of the things that I learned from him, you know.
Wow.
My mother's mother, Justine T. Brown Jr., because her mother, she's named after her mother, which is a senior. She was one of the first women, Black women in New York City to start the Black College Tours. So she started the Queens Community Cadet Corps, which started out as a steel drum band. You know, and we would go around and perform, and she dealt with the cadets in from like different organizations. And if you know anything about cadets, they're like the ROTC, you know.
Yeah.
And from that it went on to she started touring, taking inner city children that have never left the city and started touring all the historical Black colleges up and down the East Coast. So she did that for maybe 20 plus years, you know, and it was a family business. Like, my summers were spent touring colleges, you know what I'm saying, going, you know, getting other kids together and, you know, we getting on those buses and hotels and, you know, just doing different things, learning the business behind the business, and actually going to these different colleges and learning and giving people the opportunity. College is not made for everybody. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But
no.
You're giving people opportunities. We're talking about kids that never even stayed in a hotel before. Little stuff.
That don't know what a college is. Don't even know what the institution is. Oh, my
goodness.
Don't
even know what the institution is. And had it set up that when you went on this tour, you had the opportunity to go straight to meet administrators and people, fill out your applications. They got discounts off of applications and different stuff like that. So that was one of the great things that she did. She also was a CNA, you know,
mm-hmm.
and she got an associate's degree herself. But when she got her associate's degree, she was like, you know what? I need to take what I have, and I'm going to push people further because what I have works for me right now. She's also the same
mm-hmm.
woman who taught me how to crochet. So my business sense, as far as my abilities to crochet, came from my grandmother,
mm-hmm.
Justine T. Brown. My mother, where I got the name Bushwoman from, actually used to have her own, she used to have her own clothing store called One and Body, but then she used to do floral arrangements, and she was the Bush woman. Well, when she,
wow.
when she divorced my father, and they broke up, they, mind you, they got married, divorced, it's a long story, but she decided she was going to give him back his name. I was like, okay, when I started my business, I started calling it Bush Woman Designs. And she was like, well, you can't take that name. I was like, well, technically, I'm the only Bush woman.
Right.
Because I'm the only Bush woman because I'm the oldest grandchild on both sides of the family. I'm the only girl. I'm the only granddaughter. So at the time, I was the only Bush woman. So that's where that came from. On my father's side, those cakes that we get, and I always talk about that pound cake, that's my grandmother. That's my grandmother, Faking. She loves cakes and Target. That social bug part of me, that let's all get together and have a good time, that is Faye Allison Means All the Way. That's that Allison blood part of my family. So it's just interesting because as I get older, it's like, 1 minute, I was like, ooh, I look like my daddy. Then I do something else. I'm like, ooh, I look like my grandmother. You know what I'm saying? And I do things and I say things. And it's crazy because the things that were taught to me, I started teaching those things to my nieces and nephews. So it's funny because now I have one of my nephews who's studying to be, he's, you know, going on to be a vegetarian. Well, when he was younger, I was a vegetarian. I ain't no pork, no meat, no anything. But he remembers those things. So we think that history is 100 or 200 years ago. History technically was just 20 minutes ago. You know what I'm saying? We made it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? We made it. Whew. You know, because think about it. Somebody didn't make it to this 20 minutes. So
that's
why I'm such an advocate for being grateful and finding joy, you know what I'm saying, and making sure that, you know, you recognize that, and it laid on my spirit today was about stop always looking outside of yourself for something to be greater than you, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Right,
so
absolutely.
You take that thought, and y'all have a blessed night.
Thank you. And look, and thank you for sharing your ancestors with us. Not like we have a choice, because your ancestors are going to let us know regardless, okay? So,
yeah.
I appreciate it, though. I appreciate it. That's where all the laughs and the giggles come in. So when I'm trying to have a serious retreat and I'm trying to get work done and we have the giggles bust out, then we know who just walked in the door, okay?
And it's
so funny. And I'm like, y'all, can we try to hold it together? No, we can't hold it together. So, absolutely. I absolutely love it. So thank you for sharing your family with us.
Thank you.
You know, so we've heard two family stories, and I just wanted to share one about my family history. It doesn't even have anything to do with me, but my mother's aunt, we called her Mommy Neal. And Mommy Neal, what I remember about Mommy Neal, because she transitioned when I was fairly young, is that she knitted, crocheted. Those needles, it would amaze me because her hands would be doing something and her eyes would be watching. One eye was on the soap opera and the other eye was watching us. We couldn't do anything. And I was like, how is she doing something with the yarn, and I think it's knitting because they were long needles. And how is she able to do all this at one time? She was a spiritualist and in metaphysics, incredibly smart. I think she has had her degree in engineering, you know. But the thing that I thought was so amazing was my baby sister does crocheting, knitting, the cross stitching, all 1,000 pieces of thread with tiny little boxes. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. And so my little sister, and I don't remember my mother doing it. So, and she, my great aunt had transitioned before the baby, I don't even think the baby was born yet, or maybe she might have been one or two. And so, but that passed down to her, and she didn't know my great aunt. And then on my cousin, who didn't live near us, my cousin grew up in Maine, but this stitching and the quilting was in her. She opened up a quilt shop. She doesn't know why she did. She's like, I just love quilting. I just this. And that wasn't something her mother did. So we have within us things that are passed down, and we don't even know where it came from. But this is why it's so important to stay close to your elders, because like Sister Makita said, it took her brother, who's a tad older than she, to be able to look and see and be like, wow, I've seen this before. I know this energy and everything like that. So I remember my cousin when she opened up this quilt shop, and I think, you know, we come from a highly educated people. And so when she said she was opening a quilt shop, I was like, you're a quilt shop? Where you going to sew all day? And so she's like, yes, and I just so excited. And I mean, it was so everything to her. I was like, you know that, you know, our great aunt, you know, she was into this. This is what she did. Even my grandmother would sew everything, curtains, placemats. She upholstered furniture. If it had to do with fabric, they did that. And so, but of course, my cousin, who grew up away from the family, didn't know that. She just knew it was in her, you know? And so when it comes to knowing your ancestry, sometimes it's not necessarily that you yourself are going to see this in your lifetime, but it may be for you to point out to someone else, like, hey, do you realize that you might want to research your auntie so-and-so because you are doing that? You know, now that in my generation, it was a lot of girls. This next generation, my mother had three girls. Turn around, she has three grandsons. And they now we're seeing that male energy come back around. And I'm sure she can say, this child acts like Uncle so-and-so. This child acts like, this one acts like your Uncle Craig. You know, because we're starting to see how that ancestral energy is coming in male form. So don't hesitate to share the stories of your ancestors with people, because that's how the legacy is going to continue. So I just want to shout out to my mommy, Neil, and I'm going to do some more in a little bit, but we got ancestors waiting on the line, so we're going to go ahead and keep up with the phone lines as much as I can. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings.
How are you?
Greetings. I'm well.
Our sister Faith, how are you doing?
Yes. I'm well, Mama Seven. How are you?
Good.
I said, doggone Unique them beat me to the button. She must have pressed it right a second before me. But it's amazing. I love the whole topic and the subject matter, because history has always been something very, very important to me.
Amen.
When I was a little girl, my father told me as a very small child, I had to be like maybe 4 or 5, maybe younger. But I remember this conversation, and he said, you need to know who your people are and where you come from and never forget it, because they made this way in your life for you. And I remember him telling me that, and I was like, oh, goodness, that's a lot of information. You know, a lot of old people. I was a late child, so, you know, my parents were in their mid-30s, late-30s when they had me. So, you know, everybody seemed really old to me as a child. I remember him telling me, I remember have small memories of my great-grandmother. I want to talk about my dad's side first. I'm not going to tell everybody because I have a lot of history. But on my dad's side, he used to tell me about my great-grandfather, his grandfather, and he was very adamant about telling this story and making sure that I understood it. He said, you know, your grandfather was born a slave, and he died a free man. And initially, I was like, slavery was a really long time ago. What are you talking about? But if my parents were in their late 30s and my grandmother was about almost 30 years older than him, it put my grandfather, my great-grandfather way back. And so in the early 1900s, he married, his name is Mallard McDonald, and he was a tailor by trade. And he was able to build his own business in Sault Ste., South Carolina. He had his own shop. He had his own, you know, he married my great-grandmother, and her name was Mary McDonald, and they had a family of six children. But the most significant thing about it was he was the only tailor in town. And because he was the only tailor in town, black or white, he was able to make everyone's clothes. So he was he built his entire life, and he built his entire legacy off of his ability to use his trade and not have to work for someone else. His wife, Mary McDonald, which is my grandmother's, also my grandmother's name, she was Native American. And I remember her as a little girl before she passed. I was about maybe four when she passed, but I remember her because she was really dark-skinned, but she had this long, she would wear these two long braids, and I used to always touch them and ask, you know, and she let my hair go, child. She would just not hit me, but kind of like swipe my hand away. And and she was a medicine woman and the midwife. So the people in this town relied on her when their babies came. Well, around 1920, around that time, 1922, there was a plague that came through. And my grandmother was the only one who didn't get sick. But she also cared for all of the rich families in the area. And so they always kind of revered them. So granted, they were able to send their children away to trade schools because then that particular area, my grandfather believed that if you had a trade, that you can always work for yourself. And that's what he always instilled in them. And so my uncle, one of my uncles went into the military and he died in World War One. I had my grandmother and my aunt, they were close in age. He sent them to Philadelphia to school. My grandmother learned how to become a beautician, and her sister went to secretary school. When they came back to Sault Ste., he built my grandmother her own beauty shop, and my aunt was their bookkeeper. My Uncle Candy, he played the drums, and then it goes on. They ended up moving to New York, but then my uncle Rascott was the first black fire chief in Harlem.
Wow.
Rascott McDonald. And my uncle John was a Negro League major baseball player. John McDonald. So there's a lot of history. And I don't even want to go to the other side of the family because they're all over the place. But you know, I was thinking about it, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of history that I know only because it was taught to me, because my father made sure that I knew it.
Right.
And so it's so important that we pass we continue the oral traditions with our children, because if they don't have our stories, then if they don't know that they come from greatness, they'll never believe themselves great. So
Absolutely.
I could go on and on, but I'm not.
So much. I know your people too, you know, but I thank you so much for sharing. And we not only have you done this research, but you were sharing with me that your children are now contributing to the Ancestor Shrine. They're, you know, I think there were some paintings, some drawings and stuff. That's how you get them to become understanding what's going on with these ancestors, and they'll begin to know and to recognize their lineage And so when they get old enough to start having their own shrines up, this won't even be nothing new. It's just like, yeah, I know I've been taking care of shrines and I've been around shrines all my life. So, you know, not only are you following their footsteps with the caring and the nursing and all of that, but, you know, you're teaching the children, and that's so important. So important.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and letting me share. I didn't want a headache.
Absolutely. Look, no one wants that headache. No one wants that headache, okay? All that means is that we're going to have a part two. So thank you for sharing. You know, one thing I want to say to speaking about ancestors, speaking about the African-American community, okay, I have two male children that weren't necessarily connected to their male, to the parental side. I've been keeping track of both sides of their family. So, yes, I know my ancestors, and I got a good bit of names. You know, nothing like I should. I'm still working on that, but I'm working on it, okay? But also, I've been keeping pictures in track because Solomon's father's mother, there were 8 or 9 girls, all of them, and they all looked exactly alike, and they all were stair-steppers. It was like watching 8 or 9 doublets, triplets, octuplets, whatever. They all look alike. And so I have pictures of all of Solomon's father's aunts and their names. And so that's lineage that he won't have to research and start from scratch. I know all of Talib's father's siblings. There were 9 or 10 of them. And Talib's father's father was one of the Tuskegee Airmen. And so these are facts that they know, but I'll take pictures. I'll try to document as much as I know. Now, they're not my ancestors, not at all. But I know I get blessings because that's going to turn around and they're going to be prepared to have an ancestor shrine. And God willing, hopefully, in natural order of things, when it's time for me to become part of that ancestral shrine, they'll have appreciation for the work that I've already laid out for them. They'll already have the pictures. They'll already have the names and the dates. And so I you know, it's hard when you are the mother and you know, you're like, man, we're not even together no more. But that doesn't matter. You know, there's certain things that we have to do for the children, and maintaining ancestral records is part of that. So I strongly suggest as much as you can, if you can track, if you're not with the father, that's fine. Those ancestors, they still with the child. So try to track that information and make some notes for the child so when they get of age, there's an easy transition, and they already have that information ready for them. And we have shows that talk about ancestor shrines all the time in ways you can, you know, have your shrine. I strongly encourage that shrines be a family affair, so we always have, you know, the kids involved in ways to make it real easy. But, you know, even before they get their quote-unquote shrine duties, let's take the time to jot down the information that they're going to need because that's going to be important, and that will help them have, again, a healthy, fluid transition understanding into spiritual adulthood when they start taking on responsibilities for themselves. So keeping the energy flowing, keeping the energy flowing, staying with the phone lines. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, Mother Seven. How you doing? And everybody out there in Radio Land.
Oh, Sister Omi Shayun, how you doing?
Fine, sweetheart. How about you?
Good. Well, you know, this loving ancestors, you know, this is what we do. When you come from the ancestral house, it's only a matter of time before ancestors pop up and we get to share in, you know, their greatness and everything like that. So I'm tickled today. I really am. Tickled and thankful.
All right. That sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm. That sounds fantastic.
Now,
okay,
I've, had of, I've had a couple of cakes in dedication to your ancestors. So I hope that you're going to share where all these cheesecake people come from that I welcome and eat every single time.
Well, the cheesecake was my mother, Joyce Garris.
Mm-hmm.
She was a diabetic, but she always said if she was going to cheat, she was going to cheat with something good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that's where her cheesecake came from. That's where the cheesecake came from. And I was a baker. Well, I'm still am a baker. And I was trying before they got real fancy with the sugar and everything. I was trying to make her cakes with the with the saccharin and all this other stuff, but it never came
mm-hmm.
out quite as good. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I sort of just left that alone. I said, well, Mom, you're just going to have to cheat, you know, because it's not coming out. It didn't rise. It didn't taste good, nothing. So probably now it's probably a whole lot better than it was before.
Yes, I'm sure.
Mom was an RN. And I remember when I was younger, we lived in Brooklyn. It was called the Pink Houses. And I could look across the street and see her walk home. So that was, let's see, 60s, in the 60s. And she would talk about, she was working in the emergency room at that time and talking about the problems that she ran across with people being disrespectful to her for being a nurse and everything. And she had to, you know, explain to some people, you know, that this was her job and, you know, she was a registered nurse. She was qualified to do what she had to do. And then she wound up moving up the ranks to, she worked in the prison system. She did labor and delivery. She has awards, you know, for her nursing ability. So that's, you know, a good thing. She tried to get me into nursing, but that wasn't working. So I went into the business side of nursing, medical records and working in doctor's office and stuff like that. So that was Mom. then I have my grandfather and all his people. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Okay, so my grandfather, he worked on the docks. That was, you know, in New York, working on the docks and everything. You know, that was real big, you know, to have a black man working on the docks. Because, you know, in New York, that was like Italian territory.
Oh, wow.
But he did the working on the docks. I worked on two different family trees, so I have a lot of information. I'm sorry I didn't think about or wasn't interested in the family history when I was younger, but talking to my aunt and uncle who knew the family more than I did, gave me a lot of information. So, you know, Ancestry.com, I did that. Then just this year, I did the DNA testing, and that went through my heritage. And, boy, everything popped up on that one, on my father's side. So I've got a lot of people that way. But backtracking a little bit, on my grandfather's side, on my mother's grandfather's side, his family were builders. So they did a lot of building houses, and they were in North Carolina. In North Carolina. So they had a lot of houses there. And on my father, his people have a lot of land in South Carolina that, I mean, buku lands out there, corn and wheat and whatever else is growing out there now. Let's see. All my aunts and uncles on my mother's brothers and sisters all have education. My uncle was a principal for a couple of schools, and then he was in New York. He was like a trade school, a counselor there. My Aunt Janet worked for the State Department before she retired. Aunt Margaret also worked for the State Department. She was upstate New York. And Julie worked for the airlines off and on. She was very good at that back in the beginning of time and what have you. My other uncle is out in Nebraska. He worked for the Air Force, so now he's just doing the veteran. He works for the VA out there now, so he's retired. And go back to my other side. It's a lot to remember and, you know, everything. But we're supposed to be having, on my mother's side, we're supposed to be having a family reunion this year. And I said, well, that's fantastic, because I have not been to a family reunion on my mom's side at all. I think it was like the first time they doing it, or the first time everybody said they want, up north said they wanted to go, because, you know, family's getting kind of thin.
But, and you know, and that's so important, because it's so important because we are more spread out now than where we were before. There was a time where all of our families were clumped together, you know, and as we spread out, we lose contact. And so it is important to get together where you can, share where you can, you know, make sure that the children know their cousins, you know, and everything like that. So it's so important that we continue that family tree and continue to build off of it. Build and grow from it. Absolutely. And I can tell, I mean, I know from personal experience, but I can tell that you've done your share of studying this too. Between the ancestry.com, the family trees and everything else like that, that stuff becomes super valuable, you know, and so that your kids don't have to recreate all this. You know, the more work we do now means the less work they'll have to do when it's their time to do it.
Right. And, you know, like one of the other sisters said, the oral talking. We sit here, you know, Isaiah and I would sit here and we'll talk about family or what we did or they did when they were younger. You know, Corey would talk and I'll fill him in sometimes, and I ask him, does he remember so-and-so? And no, I don't remember them. You know, and I said, well, that was your aunt or, you know, a friend of grandma's, you know, that she was very close to and worked with, you know, things like that. So, you know, that oral communication is good, but like you said, also writing it down, doing the ancestry's family tree is good. So, like you said, they'll have it for later on in life, you know, if they ever wanted to look into it and find out who's who. Because I know I had an uncle also that was in World War II who passed away. We had a lot of twins. And my grandfather's, my mother's father's side, and Dennis' side, my husband, they have twins. And I said, y'all better watch it.
Right.
And
keep that to yourself.
And,
but
you
that's
know,
part of film history, too. You know, just things like things that come up in birth records and stuff like that, you know, so absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for calling and sharing. And shouting out your ancestors. You know, that it is one of the small things we can do, but it means so much to them. you know, mm-hmm. just having their name recognized, having their energy recognized, you know. And like I said, for those, if you even if you don't know a story, but you want to feel out your ancestors, call in and shout out just the family name, you know, and let's make sure that you're counted in that number, you know. So go ahead and do mm-hmm. that. Press one and let us know. And Sister Omishayun, thank you so much for sharing. Anytime that you want to have a cheesecake celebration, you know my phone number, okay?
Okay, sweetheart. You take care.
All right. We'll talk more soon. Thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome.
You know, I want to share the beautiful woman that I did on the out cover of the show. The show has, like, always a picture. That is my grandmother. That is my mother's mother. We called her Granny, and all my cousins called her Mama Flo, I believe. But that is my grandmother, and my grandmother was such a determined woman. She was a quiet, you know, on the outside, she was very quiet, reserved, but there was, like, the heart of a dragon, you know, that she was always working, but she was very quiet in it. She achieved so much. In my family, we have ancestors that have handicaps. I have a grandpa, I believe it is a great, great grandfather of mine, who was legally blind, but walked to work every day and had, you know, a job of sweeping or something. And I'm like, how did that happen? But, you know, we have seen blind people memorize steps, learn how to do this. He went to work every day. He had a family. He had children. Had a full life. My grandmother, as a young woman, I think 22, was paralyzed after having two children and became a paraplegic and turned around and still had my mother. And so having handicaps was a part of the norm, but it was never an excuse to do less than. We always were like, you know, there was always such a high expectation no matter what. So they don't want to hear about your handicap or anything else like that. But the lesson that my grandmother taught me, in my opinion, you know, you can get what you want from the lesson, but she was a determined mother. She was so intentional. She with her handicap, she could have said, okay, you know, oh, well, children, sorry, I'm handicapped, I can't do this. But she was determined, even with her handicap, to be an active part of her children's lives. She was highly educated. She went to college. She worked, you know, everything. And so she lived a full life, even when there could have been an excuse not to. And so I thought that was, to me, very admirable. And my grandmother still does, even in spirit, loves my middle sister. Now, my middle sister is bad, and she's been bad. And I would say, Granny, you see her acting up, and my sister used to tickle my grandmother. And my sister just got away with just murder, whatever she wanted. And it's still like that. But, you know, I'll never forget the confusion on my face as she's just, you know, Aisha could do no wrong, you know. And it always makes me laugh to imagine her being tickled at that, okay, because she was smitten with this child. And so, you know, those are stories that I tell, you know, my children as they think about, you know, ancestors and stuff. Our latest ancestor, our Aunt Sandy, who I've spoken about on the air before, she absolutely loved these boys, okay? You couldn't be bad, but she didn't mind it, you know what I'm saying? But she absolutely spoiled them. They ate whatever they wanted to eat. They played all kind of crazy games. They stayed up to the wee hours of the morning. You know, her house was the hangout spot, and they loved her. Now, my aunt, educated woman, traveled the world, did mission work, did whatever she wanted to do, okay? She really wrote her own ticket. And there, she made a lot of contributions, a tenured professor at FIU, all of those things. But what I remember is how much fun she had in her life. She was not living no piddly life, okay? She wasn't going to be satisfied with less than. You know, she always went top-notch. She always traveled, you know, she's the kind of person that traveled where she wanted to, did what she wanted to, enjoyed the children. They, you know, she, there was never a burden or anything. She enjoyed the children, encouraged them to do well. She reminded them about the history and their family legacy and lineage, and it was such a wonderful experience. So even though she has all of these accomplishments, and I can't take from none of them, Dr. Lee, you know, she really excelled in her career. But what I remember is how much fun she was for the children, my baby sister, up into my own personal children, how much she enjoyed the children and the children enjoyed her, and how much she was teaching them indirectly. She wasn't sitting there beating them over the head with books, you know what I'm saying? But they always came back with an understanding and would ask me, well, who is this person to me? Well, how do I know this? And in her later years, she really, really worked hard to connect the cousins. And so that's something that I have to give to her and her lineage and her legacy, is that she really wanted the children to get to know each other. And that's something that I am going to have to take on personally and make sure that they get opportunities to spend more time with each other. But just that my grandmother and my great aunt, just my grandmother, I tell you, I call her Granny, and then my great aunt, who's my Aunt Sandy, two more ancestors shouting out. I want to grab the phone line real quick. Got a caller that would like to say hello, shout out ancestors. Greetings, welcome to the line.
Good evening, it's Melissa. How are you?
Oh, Melissa, how are you?
I'm good, I'm good. I really don't have much to say, but I just feel disrespectful not at least acknowledging the folks on my shrine.
Amen.
And I know there's a lot more out there, and I know some of the connections I believe I got from them and some of the other contributions they have contributed to the community. But
right.
I don't know what enough to give these wonderful stories that I'm hearing right now. But I will say this. I'm going to say the last name because it's a lot. So on my mother's side, we have the Wilkes and the Wofford and Lucas. And a lot of those that I know are the women. You have Aunt May, my great-grandmother Rosalie, and those are the two that I remember being a little girl and having activities with. And my great-grandmother, when I was alive, was in a wheelchair. So I remember massaging her leg and you know, just trying to activate her muscles. You know how you do all that kind of stuff. And I hate to say it, but I know I'm the only great-grandchild that got a beating. From her, and that's because I was doing something with the baby doll. But anyway, so I have my own little story that nobody else can share. I also have my little facial hair come from her. I don't care, it comes from that side of the family. So I know I had those attributes. My grandmother, who just passed, she is on there. I know I have some of her attributes, especially for opening up my home to people and things. That's something that she has done. She has a good green thumb, raised a good family, very selfless, definitely there for others, and had a very strong belief in God. So that I want to give to Bertha Lee, that's for you. My other grandmother on my father's side, she was like the spitfire, feisty one, and I know I get my my warrior part from that start. I really feel like that.
Amen.
I don't know much about that side of the family at all because of whatever hardship she went through. From what I understand, she was mixed or partly mixed, but didn't blend in enough like everybody else. And she had her thumbs grew in a different direction. So she had
wow.
an ailment, and people didn't want to accept her. So she had a hard life from what I understood. But she's the Boston-based one. Like, I know for sure she's the Boston-based one. And if you look at her, you can see that 26% Irish-British that's in my DNA that my father's side of the family pulled.
Wow.
That side of the family, they have a lot of down, but they do have a lot of smart street smarts and savviness and survival techniques. And so I have to attribute that from them. On my mother's father's side, that's going to be the Coxes and the Spain. They were sick a lot. So they died off a little earlier than other folks. But my grandfather, who I believe only had a sixth grade education, had his own by the time he moved to Boston. He went to the war. He met my grandmother 3 months later. They got married. He went off to the war, came back, and they started to ease their way up the East Coast. But they both became homeowners. I think my grandmother went to high school. I don't know. She graduated. But when they came up the East Coast, owned a home that is actually a historical place that we no longer own, but that's another generation's problem.
Okay.
And he had his own landscaping business, and I do know there are trees still planted in Boston that are trees that my grandfather planted. I know I'm missing out, people. They come from the North Carolina area. The mother's side come from a Chattanooga area in Georgia area. And like I said, my father's side that we know of, because I don't know his father's side, comes from the Boston area. So I just want to say thank you to my ancestors for watching out for me, even when I didn't realize
Amen.
I needed watching out for. And just being there and helping me be who I am today.
Amen. Amen. Well, no, that's a great beginning. That's a lot, you know, what you said. And the reason why it's a lot is because I heard you go from this is their name and this is what they did and this is how they're related to me and this is how it connects into the whole family. That's a lot of information. That's great information. So, you know, that's what when we study ancestors, you know, that's what I strongly suggest that you study not just the name and, you know, maybe a birth date or a death date, but study, like, how they lived, you know. Just start to begin to try to understand, like, who they were as people. And then that kind of gives us more insight as to who we are as people. So 100%. Yeah, you got it. You going and they are excited about it. So thank you so much for sharing. And like you said, it is a matter of respect. You know, when given the opportunity, yeah, you want to shout the people out because you do so much work. It's like, you know, they're like, of course, you want to be celebrated and recognized. And so in everything we do, not just the radio program, but everything we do, we're representing them, you know, and so we're continuing their history. So thank you so much for sharing, sister, and thanks for, you know, I know you've taken your work with ancestors super seriously, so and it shows. It really shows. So thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I love all of the energy that we've gotten. I want to share a story of healing with my ancestors. My father and his mother have had what I would say a rocky relationship in the past. And she transitioned in the middle of their rocky relationship. And I could not let this energy go. It just pulled on my heart to have that relationship feel like it's ended, like it's over. And so there was a lot of elevation work that I've done for healing in that between him, who is still living, and her, who has transitioned. And I'm in the bloodline. I can do that. And the work was so well received. It put him in a different understanding of life. It allowed him to be more compassionate, understanding some of the trials and tribulations that she was experiencing in her life as trying to mother under certain conditions. And so it also allowed him to understand that parents are not perfect. You know, parents make mistakes. They do the best they can. Receive what you can. What you can't, let go. You know, there aren't any perfect parents. They're not perfect children. We're all a work in progress, and we're working and trying to be the best that we can be. So the work that I did for my father's mother, Miss Ernestine Sanders, was work that I kind of stood in the gap for my father on, work that he needed to complete. So now that that work is done, hopefully he can do, you know, that work can start the ripple for his own healing. But when we do healing work, when we're working on ourselves, that healing goes forward to our children and our children's children. It also goes backwards to our ancestors. And there are times when we have the responsibility of elevating our ancestors or elevating the work that we need for our children. So, you know, don't hesitate whenever it comes up that this is an ancestral, that, you know, the Christians call it, you know, breaking generational curses and this, that, and the other. But understand that when we are healing ourselves, we are also healing ancestors. When we're elevating ourselves, we're also elevating ancestors. And so don't hesitate to do that work. Don't hesitate to start creating those historical steps right now, because the more steps you take, what you're going to find out is that a lot of these steps were already in place. They were already there. We just may not have been aware of it. And then we get to go to, like I heard tonight, the family reunion. And this is when we, you know, the elders will come and they will share how they'll share our story with us, the things that we didn't know. You know, one story I know I didn't know is I did high school in Miami, but ended up going to Virginia State. My high school counselor went to Virginia State. So I was like, oh, great, I want to go to Virginia State. And I'm thinking I'm pioneering Virginia State. I'm thinking I'm pioneering pledging Zeta. I was like, oh, we don't have no female Greeks in our family, and I'm just going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking I'm pioneering. I'm standing out. I'm representing, right? Come to find out, on my father's side, we didn't know this, all my cousins went to Virginia State. I said, wait a minute. I got cousins, I got multiple cousins that pledged Zeta. And I'm like, wait a minute. How did this happen? You know, I thought I was the only one. They were like, you were far from the only one. I had family member at Virginia State that was attending Virginia State and working at Virginia State, and I didn't know it. You know, I have cousins now. They're like, what's up, Sarah? And I'm like, when did this happen? They're older than me in Zeta. And so, it, you know, even when we think that we're by ourselves and we're doing all this magical stuff and blah, 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 no, not at all. We are following family lineage. And then my sisters, both of them, went to Virginia State and graduated from Virginia State. So even though we didn't know, all of us did this, all of us. So, you know, knowing your family history can help you. Sometimes you're just going to do it whether you know it or not. You're just following along, just happy-go-lucky. So I love studying ancestors. I love learning about ancestors. And I, you know, I'll ask Mama Khadija, I'm like, all right, what's this and what's that? And she'll tell me the information. I'm like, okay, I got it. And then about every 2 years, she tells me something new. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me that before? And then she's like, I know I told you. And we'll go back and forth. And so it's to me, it's like every 2 years, there's a deepening to my understanding of ancestors. Every time I go and try to share information with my children, it deepens my understanding because they'll ask me a question I've never considered, you know. And so don't hesitate to allow your knowledge of ancestors to change. It deepens. It goes further, you know. And the way that it goes further is with our children, you know. When we start to see it, then we're like, wow, you know, this ancestor thing is so correct. When you start to see that Native American blood, and let me tell you, all my family doing all the DNA tests, all the ancestry tests, for some reason, the Native American aspects are not popping up. But the family stories will tell you when this gene is in your family. I don't know why it's not popping up on the ancestry.com, but it's not. So the stories of like a Sister Faith whose ancestors, you know, just noticing the hair coming down. You may notice the dress. You may notice certain names that sound real Native American and they're in your family. So, you know, not only should you jot down name, dates, attributes, stories, you know, all of these things, possibly even religious understandings. We're going to start having ancestors that made other religious understandings as they were learning more about themselves. You know, if you have them Bible thumping ancestors, you might need to pay attention because it's going to show up one way or another. I want to thank everyone for having the show with us. It was absolutely wonderful. You know, shout out to family names of Williams in my family, Muse. There's so many of them. But those are the two that I think I didn't get a chance to tell stories about. But, you know, my uncles Walt, my uncle Layton, you know, there were a number of family members that made a lot of contribution, not to me, but to my mother. And then my mother turned around and poured into me and my siblings. And so not just teaching your family the order of the information, also teach them how it impacted you. How did this impact you? I want to share the prayer. This is an ancestral libation. And this prayer comes from the devotion book, on the little handy notebook of devotions, Closer to God. All my wonderful approach people should have this. And even though devotions is coming up in April, the prayers, the daily prayers, are very, very powerful. So don't hesitate to read the prayers and keep them close. So as we do every show, we always end with prayer. I'm going to end with this libation. To all of our ancestors of antiquity who developed great knowledge and gave humanity to the world, your will to be lives in me. To all our ancestors who were fortunate to be buried on the soil of our motherland, your will to be lives in me. To all our ancestors who were lost and killed during the voyage of the Middle Passage, your will to be lives in me. To all of our ancestors who suffered the cruelty of oppression throughout the world, your will to be lives in me. We say thank you, great ancestors, for the precious gift of your blood, sweat, and tears, who fought for freedom, justice, and equality. Your will to be lives in me. I promise as a descendant and benefactor of your light to uphold truth without fear and to never forget you and your sacrifice as I teach myself and my children to honor and respect you. To our ancestors, in your honor, I promise to assume the responsibility in continuing on the path of progress and build upon the foundation you have laid before me. To our ancestors, in your honor, I promise to remove the fear, ignorance, and shame, self-hatred of my history and reclaim my cultural heritage and consciousness of spiritual oneness. To our ancestors, in your honor, I promise to continue to build a new world for and with our children based on positive principles and values. To our ancestors, in your honor. Ancestors, we praise and honor you. May your spirit be filled with light and progress, and may the light guide us through the fear and ignorance of our day. Amen.